Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, so honored and always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of God's very real presence in your life. Well, my guest today says this about brokenness. She says, well, we wear it like a badge, proudly showing off the shattered pieces of our lives while still fighting the same desperate battles. But brokenness was never meant to be the destination or your identity. It was meant to be the catalyst for breakthrough. It's okay not to be okay for a little while, but Jesus has a plan to see your scars become success stories that reflect his glory to the people around you. I love it. Each painful moment, she says, in our lives can lead to some kind of breakthrough. Each painful moment in your life can lead to some kind of breakthrough. This is an important conversation because there are some wounds we just sort of let fester deep inside and we don't do anything about it, and it affects our perspective. It affects how we relate to people. There's others that we keep going round and round the mountain, but we don't find any redemptive perspective, and it's like a soul infection. But it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Well, Jennifer Renee Watson joins me today to talk about her book, Freedom, The Gutsy Pursuit of Breakthrough and the Life Beyond It. And I would echo that. This pursuit of breakthrough is gutsy, but that's what we're made of. You know what? God has made us that way, right? We're ready for this. We've got 5 copies to get into your hands. And if you listen often enough, you know the drill. But if you're new to Middays, I'll let you know how you do this. You email middays@myfaithradio.com and put freedom in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. And if you've got questions, comments throughout the show, you can always text them in 877-933-2484. We're going to start opening up the phone lines more often. We may do that second half of the show. I just kind of see how the conversation flows and see if we have some room in the show to do that. Quick announcement before we get Jennifer on. Oh, just a few more days till we get to meet you face to face. I know we've got listeners from around the country, but those of you who live in the Twin Cities metro area, please come and join us. We've got some spots left. We get it filling up though. Tickets are going. It's a live audience event this Thursday night, right across the street from the radio station at the beautiful University Northwestern St. Paul, 7 p.m. Thursday night, May 16th. Live audience. Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas will join me. We'll talk about the process that God uses to prepare you for his dreams and how you confront self-limiting beliefs and all the self-sabotaging stuff that gets in our way. We kind of get in our own way, you know, that God wants to move out of the way so that we can do and be everything he intended. Mark Allen Schoolmeesters will lead us in worship. We'll have some meet and greet time, refreshments, and actually record a show. So tickets are only $15. So if you want to make sure you get in, get on the web at myfaithradio.com and just get a ticket, $15. But we are giving away over the next 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, 12 pairs of tickets. So you can certainly try to get in the drawing. I would love it if you would. Email middays@myfaithradio.com and let me know. Do you need 1 or 2 tickets? Don't forget your mailing address. And 12 of you will each win a pair of tickets. I'm so excited. I hope you'll join us. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Jennifer Watson's a blogger, speaker, youth minister, and a pastor's wife. She co-founded Broken Girl Ministries in 2011 to help women find the same healing she found in Jesus Christ. And she lives with her husband and 2 children in Northwest Arkansas. Jennifer, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor to be with you.
Looking forward to the conversation. And we love to start every day, Jennifer, talking scripture. Wondering if there's a verse you've been just thinking about these days or a life verse that you carry with you that you can share with us.
Lately, I've been thinking about John 1:16, and it's, "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." And it just gives me that visual picture of the layers of grace, to think about like how just having grace is so amazing, but thinking of layers and an abundance of grace, of what I need from the Lord and what I need to extend to others, this has just been a verse that I've just been meditating on and thinking about for several weeks, and it's just been a powerful thing to really grasp a hold of.
You know, grace upon grace, sometimes when you're in crisis, you consider, you know, I know I've been in places and seasons where it feels like one wave, you just survive a wave and the next one knocks you over. But, you know, grace comes in waves as well. Another word picture, but just the idea that it comes and then it comes some more. I mean, his grace is like an ocean. We cannot exhaust it. What a beautiful thought. Well, you say in your book that your most life-changing breakthrough was right after your biggest breakdown. Would you mind telling us part of that story, if you would?
Yes. My dad was an alcoholic, and I had always kind of, what we do with brokenness is we attach so much of our identity to part of our stories. And so I had tethered some of my identity to that. And so when he passed away, there was a moment of like a breakdown and just kind of combing through all of his belongings and asking those what if questions. But there was also this moment where I was so aware that God was with me and that I had grown so much in my faith that there was this amazing strength that happened. So I would say that was a key moment in my life. Another one was a health crisis that I had around 11 years ago where I had to have this emergency surgery. I was terrified. And all of these fears and memories started coming to the surface of my mind, and I had to sift through them instead of running through it. So I would say that was a huge breakdown where I had realized that I wasn't just sick in body, but I was sick in heart and mind, and that I needed to do some soul work.
Very good. I love this. You said, the power of God inside you is stronger than any face or place that has tried to break you. Maybe speak to that person right now who is a Christian. The Spirit of God is in them, but the places and the faces that have tried to break them seem like they just hold more power over them than the power of Christ within them. What do you say?
I say that is something that we all experience, so there doesn't need to be any shame in that. It just means that when we think of that traumatic incident or that person attached to the pain, that if we can lean into it instead of running away from it and ask ourselves, where was God in that moment? Because when we start asking ourselves, God, show me where you were in that broken moment, and we really start to listen, it's life-changing to where we can see his hand in all of the broken pieces of our lives and say, God, you never left me. That is the beautiful thing about these opportunities to just turn to him instead of running away from him or running away from the pain or binging on Netflix, just doing anything that we possibly can to distract our minds from what hurts.
You know, I think it's so good to tell ourselves, you know, I'm still standing. You know, I've kind of come to the place where I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to let my past speak to me except to teach me. But, you know, the condemnation or the constant critique or whatever, those things don't get, we can say, you don't get to talk to me. I don't have to listen to that. And there is something amazing about, you know, telling our own souls what's true versus letting our past try to tell us what's not true, you know?
Exactly. Well, like I said in the book, there's this inner mean girl, and I would say that self-sabotage has been my biggest kryptonite. The thing that has gotten me down the most is how I have talked to myself and bashed myself and just placed that guilt or that shame or just anything like that that doesn't line up with God's word, because he gives us grace upon grace in his fullness. And when we're just saying, sending all the negative things our way and saying, you are a disaster and I don't even know how you get up every day. Like, none of those thoughts are from him.
That's right.
But as believers, we've all been prone to listen to that inner mean girl. And that's why I feel like we have to address her and say, you know what? You don't get to take up my headspace anymore.
That's right.
I want a nicer voice.
And dudes, you have an inner mean guy, because we got guys listening too. And that is just what's true, though. When we get bullied and pushed around, we need to put our foot down and say, enough with this already. I would never treat another person the way I treat myself at times. And Jennifer, we purposely address soul restoration on this show because I'm super passionate about it. And I know that everybody has experienced trauma of some kind. And those who ignore it will live broken because of it. But as you say, discovering that brokenness is only part of the story. That's not our destination. Say more about what you've even discovered about that.
I have realized that it's been the moments of my brokenness and the moments of the breakdowns and those areas that I was the most afraid of or ashamed of have been the exact areas where God has used me the most. like where my baggage has literally become my platform, because I was able to address it, work through it with counseling, talk therapy, prayer counseling, the word, to where all of a sudden, all of the spotlight had gone, which was all on my brokenness before, started turning to the God who wants to mend and redeem our broken stories. And it just was a game changer, because I felt like it was like I had a magnifying glass to the things that I had been through. Instead of focusing on God, the author and the perfecter and finisher of our faith. And so I felt like I just had a major mindset shift in a way that said, okay, look at what God is going to do with this. And I started living in a place of victory instead of this place of condemnation or this place of beating myself up. Because in the past, I really felt like victory was just a concept. But now for me, I know it's my constant because of the work of Jesus in my life.
Amen. Okay, friend listening today, this is what I'm asking of you. I want you to engage with me. I want you to be able to finish this sentence and text it or email in, but I once was and now I'm. So you might even be in a storm right now, but you are still standing and you've been through other storms and you got through them. How are you different? How are you stronger? I once was afraid, but now I have more faith. It doesn't mean you're making a statement that you've fully overcome. Maybe you haven't, but you're still standing and you've overcome some things. What are those things? I want your testimony to be heard, because someone else needs to hear, man, if he can do it for her, he can do it for me. If he can do it for him, he can do it for me. We're going to pause here, but I've got the number for you. Text it in, 877-933-2484. Text in, tell me, how have your trials and God's grace in those trials changed you for the better? What have been some of the blessings in your battle? They're there. Look for them and share them with me, would you? 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. And we'll be back in a minute. Thank you so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to author, speaker Jennifer Renee Watson about her book, Freedom, The Gutsy Pursuit of Breakthrough and the Life Beyond It. I just love that title. 5 copies, friends. We've got 5 copies to give away. Email middays@myfaithradio.com. We're also giving away 12 sets of tickets to our upcoming live event. We'll be giving them, taking the drawings today and tomorrow, Tuesday, and then we'll announce those or email you if you won tomorrow afternoon. So email if you want in on the drawing for those tickets and or the book. Freedom, middays@myfaithradio.com. Carissa writes and she says, I once lived almost every moment in terror, but now I'm refusing to let that voice dictate my hope or steal my courage. Carissa, I want you to have a copy of this book. So email us with your address if you would. Carissa is someone who lives and battles chronic illness. She's homebound, but she's a fighter. And I think this book would just put fire in your belly, Carissa. Email middays@myfaithradio.com. You said that there are a handful of people and friends, as you say, with their baggage that they don't want to let go of. So they're walking through life still with their baggage, probably more secure with their baggage than without it. Explain that dynamic and why that is.
I have met so many women, and even these women are friends of mine. And when I talk with them, we end up talking about the same things over and over again. And it just proves to me that their identity is so tethered to the trauma in their life that they don't know who they are without chaos. They don't know who they are without brokenness. And that is such a hard place to be in when you know that there are some women who are stuck and they don't want to be stuck. They want to work through it. Or even men and women, they're stuck and they don't want to be. But then there's some that they really like it. And I think it's because that's all they have ever known was trauma and chaos. So when peace comes into their life and happiness, they don't even know what to do with it. And I live that way.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, they say a known captivity is sometimes preferable to an unknown freedom. I have to ask you, did you happen to just go on speakerphone or put a headset on by any chance?
Yes. Let me
huge.
Yeah, that affects the sound in a big way. So it makes a, But I want to read it. She's getting situated here. Another friend, another listener texted in. I was once unsure, but now I'm certain. As I trust God, my faith has grown. I'm experiencing his plan unfold for me. Way to go, friend. That is amazing. What we're asking you is to engage with us and tell me what you once were and what you are now. It doesn't mean you're finished yet. It doesn't mean maybe you've totally conquered the fear battle or the rejection battle, but you're still standing. So I want to know what's changed. What are some of the blessings in your battle? 877-933-2484. Text in if you would. You talk about this idea of dealing with our issue versus denying our issue, because there's one camp that maybe just like, I'm not going to look in the past. I only look in the front window, not the rearview mirror. You know, life's forward, not backward. Mm-hmm. That sounds good and it preaches well in a positive thinking seminar. However, we all have a past that will haunt us unless we deal with it. So there's something to be said about we have to revisit some of these things, I think, in the presence of a godly counselor, mentor. And then there's a time to move on from it. So those who won't look back, I think, are still impacted by their past. But then there's who look back and then they get stuck in the past. So maybe make a distinction, if you would, between those two camps, because God has more for us, but neither of those are it.
Right. Well, and I do feel like when we say, okay, I'm going to revisit this wound that has somehow reopened, but I'm going to revisit that moment. I'm going to go back and trace that back only so I can rip up that root. Maybe it was a lie of saying I'm not good enough or an insecurity or a moment where it was like verbal abuse or physical abuse. And that really impacted the way that they saw who they were. And I think that sometimes we really do have to go back and retrace those broken steps with a goal of moving forward, because we have to deal with those things that maybe we don't want to deal with, or, you know, just because growth hurts. And sometimes looking back, it doesn't feel good. But when I know that I've retraced these broken steps in my life, like I could trace the root of depression and anxiety back to one thought, and it was that I'm not enough. And so I had to go back a long way to figure out when that all started and when I started, you know, living from a place of I am not enough. And what I had to do to correct that was revisiting it and then just saying, okay, Lord, show me how to move forward and replace that lie that I believed with your truth.
You know, one of the lies that I had to retrace that was just traumatic for me was that I have to endure everything I fear, because I've endured a lot of the things that I feared, but really to have that subconscious belief that I'm one of the people who doesn't enjoy the protection of God, that can really undo you. And it is, this is why it's important to unearth that stuff, because if it's based on a lie, it's amazing the choices that you'll make in self-preservation, not trusting God. So here's a question for you, Jennifer. How does a person know that they're stuck, or maybe, and not just in a hard place that they're working through? Because there's times when you're working through, you do get a little stuck. But then you press through and press through and you get through. What's the difference and how does a person know?
I think how I have realized and recognized my stuckness is when I'm talking about the same things over and over again. I was talking to a woman that I admire so much, and she brought up something that happened 30 years ago. And I thought that she's stuck and she doesn't even realize it. She's not over something that happened 30 years ago. And so I think that when we talk about pain or talk about something that's going wrong in our life and we rehash old memories, that's how I know I'm stuck.
All right. So how about this? You said there's a point when our honesty and our brokenness can actually become an obstacle in our healing process. Say more about that.
Yeah. Sometimes I think that we just accept it instead of saying, God has paid for all of this. When he hung on the cross, Jesus hung on the cross and said, it is finished. He meant all of it. So I think that we just say, okay, there's this broken thing in my life and I just need to deal with it. But I think that when we say, I can accept that that happened, but I can also understand that God is going to move me beyond that broken moment and show me my area of breakthrough to where that piece of my history no longer gets to take the spotlight anymore. So I think that just by accepting it, I think it can be a little dangerous. But when we stand on his promises over what we just accept, you know, just flippantly, then we can walk in power when we stand on his promises.
So what is your definition of breakthrough, by the way?
So I had researched breakthrough. It's a military advancement, and it says going beyond enemy territory. So it's not just going up to the gate, it's going beyond it, like storming, taking back territory. And I just see this like advancement, like troopers just kind of going beyond all of the things that said keep out, or the red flags, or, you know, the fiery darts flying in your direction. Breakthrough is going beyond that.
I love that. Okay, you've got this gutsy girl mandate. And guys, let's call this a gutsy guy mandate too, because it applies to men and women as well. I'm going to read it, and then I want to take it through line by line if we can. But here it is. I'm not stuck. I'm steady. I am not a lost cause, too much or not enough. I am worth fighting for. I'm ready to make good use of my brokenness, because God already paid for my wholeness. I will not be the only one standing in my way. I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's start with this one. I'm not stuck. I'm steady. Say more.
Yes. I think that our mindset is everything. So when we say, I'm not stuck, I'm revisiting this, but I am steady in Christ, just even saying that out loud is powerful, because it says, I am moving forward. So the momentum is forward, not backwards.
Hmm. Okay, and this one, I'm not a lost cause. I'm not too much. I'm not enough. I'm worth fighting for. You know, I had a friend just say to me the other day, she said, I know I'm too much. I know I am. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, that's so hard, because if you think you're too much, you will self-edit all of the time.
Yes.
If you think you're not enough, you will overcompensate all of the time. I mean, there's got to be a point when you get to be comfortable in your own skin. And when a person hears, no, you're not too much, you're not enough, you're actually worth fighting for, I think it speaks to something deep, deep in their soul. So say a word if you would.
Right. Well, I had a friend call me out on this not too long ago. She said, you used to live in a place of not enough, but now you just apologize thinking that you were too much. So she said, go back to the middle. And so I think that that's where we can land as just human beings, you know, where we're either too much or not enough. But it's when we get healed and we're walking in wholeness and boldness that we go, uh-oh. Like, is this okay? Or if we're looking at someone, almost asking them for permission, you know, because it hasn't been our norm.
So how about you? Like, when you get into a place where you hit the rumble strips, I mean, you're not who you were as you've worked through things, but when you can tell you're getting on the rumble strips with either thoughts that aren't consistent with who God says you are you quicker to correct?
Yes. Oh, yes. I had this moment. It was a few months ago where I was in the situation where I had to do ministry, and things were just a disaster, and I felt like I had just messed up huge. Well, what happened is I normally would have beat myself up, and I would have talked about it for hours and hours and really fixated on it. I had a quicker bounce back. So that's what I call it. It's like this quicker bounce back to when something happens that's kind of traumatic or embarrassing or just a disaster, to where instead of dwelling on it, you go, you know what? That wasn't my best moment, but it's okay, because there's always the next time. Before I would have spiraled out of control.
It is really, that is such a picture of health physically, emotionally, socially, in every way. It's how well and quickly do you recover is a sign of health. It just is. Talking to Jennifer Renee Watson about her book, Freedom, The Gutsy Pursuit of Breakthrough and the Life Beyond It. We've got 5 copies. Email if you want in on the drawing. Middays at myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in just a moment. Thank you so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Jennifer Renee Watson about her book, Freedom, The Gutsy Pursuit of Breakthrough and the Life Beyond It. God has breakthrough for us. You know, we go from strength to strength, glory to glory, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. It's worth the pursuit. We need each other in this process. But what's really important is that we don't isolate. We don't just sort of hunker down, cover our head, brace for impact, and hope we can hang on. God has more for you. He has more for me. What I want to know from you, I want you to engage in the conversation, is How have you changed because of your battles? What has God accomplished in your life? I once was, like this dear listener said, I once was unsure, but now I'm certain. I love that. As I truly trust in God, my faith has grown. I'm experiencing His plan unfold for me. What about you? Text me, would you, or email. You can text 877-933-2484 or email middays at myfaithradio.com. We've got 5 copies of the Freedom Book to get into your hands. All right. So you said here are some things to remember when we're walking through difficult times. Once again, I'm going to read all 3, but then take them one by one. What I'm facing is temporary. I love that. What I'm feeling is temporary. And good things will come from this pain, even though I can't see them yet. Boy, someone needed to hear that today. Okay, what I'm facing is temporary. Give me an example from your own life when things felt very difficult, and then you realized this thing will pass. What do you say?
Well, I went through this kind of shift in our ministry where my husband needed me to step into this role, and I was getting a lot of criticism, and it wasn't a position or anything that I had asked for, but I was getting a lot of criticism, and he said, I need you to just hang on for 2 weeks because all of this is going to settle down and it's going to pass. And I looked at him and I was like, okay, I can do that. I can hang on for 2 weeks. And he was right. It all died down. It wasn't this big, massive drama and disaster, but it was in that moment. But he was like, just hang on because you're going to get through this. And I promise you, you're going to see the end result is going to be good. And so that was just a good reminder for me.
Yeah. And friend, maybe you need to hear that today. And I do have a blog post up on faithradio.com that is titled, You'll Get Through This. And maybe the further encouragement for you there. Okay, what I'm feeling. So what I'm facing is temporary. Tell yourself that today if you need to hear it. What I'm feeling is temporary. Say more.
Yeah, you know, I went through this season where I needed to take a nap. I was exhausted and my filter was just off. You know, so we go through these things that are just emotionally exhausting and we have to take care of ourselves a little differently. So if I know I'm not going to feel this way forever, like I'm going to pass through. So when I think about all of these things, when life throws it at me, and just to know this is right now it hurts, but I'm going to be okay. I'm just passing through.
You know, just reading about Elijah, and, you know, he said in that he had a great victory and then he went into deep depression because his life was being threatened. And the way the Lord provided was bread and water and a nap, you know, eat, drink. And then he took a nap and then he took a second nap and he said, now eat a little bit more because you're going to need it for this journey. And I think we so neglect our physical care when our soul is in distress. And then we wonder why we're in such distress. And sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap, you know, and eat better. Yeah. Get rid of some sugar. Yeah. Get to bed on time. All right. Sound like your mother, but hey, you might need to hear it. Okay. This next one. Good things will come from this pain, even though I can't see them yet. Can you think of a time, Jennifer, when you were in a situation where you maybe couldn't see that, but in hindsight, you see it now?
Yeah. Just Mother's Day was yesterday, and I lost 2 babies, and I was going through treatment for infertility. I found out that I had endometriosis, and it was stage 4, and I was going through all of this treatment. So it was around 3 years of just doctor's visits and surgeries and just getting better. And yesterday, as I got to stand up and share about Mother's Day, I'm looking at my teenage daughters in the audience, and I was like, it was so worth it. All of that pain just makes me appreciate so much more what I have now as a mom. Mm.
Well, maybe you can maybe speak to that person listening today who's still in the not yet. Things don't feel temporary. It feels like this is going to be a long battle, and it could be a long battle, even though it's still temporary. And there's so much pain, it's hard to imagine God redeeming it. What just tangible advice would you have for them?
To just hang on. I know that I would not be who I am today without all of those painful things in my life. The way that I see people, the way that I love people, just know that you can keep moving forward even when you feel like your situation has stalled out and you're in that not yet, that He is still working behind the scenes even though you can't see it. God is still moving.
You know, there's times I think about my own life when I've read a situation all wrong and it contributed to my stuckness or just even to my distress, you know, where I thought somebody thought something or something that had happened that actually didn't. You know, it's that the enemy loves to do that, is to kind of throw out little false evidence, wants you to kind of connect the dots and draw a wrong conclusion. And that, you know, he loves to do that. But that's the enemy's MO, and he distorts and he twists things. I would love for you to say a word about his intent to deceive, you know, and our capacity to perceive wrongly, because, you know, I have a little sign by my devotional table that says, don't believe everything you think, because you don't, you know, we see as in a glass dimly. We're wrong about some things. And I think when we get to the other side, we're going to marvel at how often we reacted off of faulty information. Say a word if you would.
I think that the enemy is such a punk, and he's using the same bag of old tricks. I mean, he really does. It's like, you know, when you look at the things that people believe about themselves or those lies that they believe, when we kind of trace it all back, it's basically the same things. Like, he is not creative. He's just using the same bag of old tricks, and he is not going to be victorious. So I just really like to, you know, just say, be like, no, I'm not going to give into that. And that's when I had to really take my thoughts captive, because I lived in the past where my feelings were the boss of me. And that was the most unstable time of my life.
Yeah. And I think a really important thing is a great exercise is to say, I'm not taking things personally, even if they're meant that way. It's never good for the soul to let them in that way. And many times people don't intend anything. They're not even thinking about you. They're thinking about their troubles, and it comes off a certain way. But I'm telling you, just determining, I'm not taking things personally. I mean, my husband lives that way. He's so secure. But he just gives everybody the benefit of the doubt. It gives himself the benefit of the doubt. And I'm like, what is it like to be you, buddy? I love it, because he's so grounded, you know. It's amazing. Yeah, well, let's talk, if we can, about our heart for a second. You know, healthy boundaries are one thing, but a walled-off heart is a completely different thing. And I'd love for you to make a distinction between those two.
Right. Well, I am very soft-hearted, and I'm a nurturer, and I'm a feeler, and I'm an introvert. I'm all of those things that can be, you know, a recipe for being hurt all the time. And so what I realized in my life and in my relationships, that I could give people boundaries. Like, if my heart wanted to stay soft, which it does, then I could give people boundaries. And those weren't walls. This is how we can stay connected, because my husband's like a brutally honest man, and sometimes that brutality, you know, can really hurt your feelings. So, you know, giving people boundaries, or just knowing where your line is, and then also not taking things so personally, like you said, that has been a godsend for me, to forgive others quickly and then to forgive myself just as quickly when we mess up and when we bomb. But just that wall doesn't have to stay up, but just guidelines to know what are the moments that kind of make you feel weak or insecure. You can pay attention to those without, you know, keeping people out of your heart and out of your life.
Seems to another indicator of a walled off heart versus, you know, a healthy boundary and guarding of the heart would be, you know, bitterness, rejection, fear, self-preservation, those kinds of things. I'm walling myself off so I don't get hurt. I'm walling myself off because you've run out of grace from me. I'm walling myself off, you know. And that is, as a Christian, I just don't know that we have that option, that we need to keep our hearts tender. And boundaries are more, you know, I want to stay healthy and I want you to stay healthy, but I'm always looking towards redemption in the story. But don't you think that we in our such a day of boundaries that there's times where people misuse that as an excuse to not deal with their stuff and to not have to love people?
Oh, 100%. And that's, I think that that's a good heart check, is saying, you know what, is this boundary something that I'm doing out of selfishness, or am I doing this because I really do want to connect? Because a lot of people view boundaries as you're cutting them off, not that you want to continue to stay connected to them. So I think that, yeah, we can definitely misuse, I'm giving you boundaries. And really, it's just another way to make excuses for yourself, to get out of anything.
Dr. Greg Smalley is a great friend, and have him on the show every once in a while. He and Aaron, and He often says that if you're establishing boundaries with someone, that you have to make sure that you're not just going away, but that you're saying,
wow,
I care so much about the unity of this relationship, and for whatever, you know, explain the reason, whatever, we're in a season of conflict or whatever, that we need to pause for the purpose of reconciliation and redemption down the road. This is the healthiest way for us to do that. But you're assuring them of love, and you have a purpose and a plan, that this is just isn't where I'm just cutting you off, because that's excruciating.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, let's pause here. When we come back, I want you to maybe unpack a little bit more from your chapter, Freedom from Your Inner Mean Girl. And guys, this is for you as well. Jennifer writes to women, but really I want to talk a bit more about getting rid of that inner critic, that inner lawyer, the inner judge, the person who's constantly condemning, picking you apart. Can you break free altogether? I believe that you can. What if you started to get comfortable in your own skin? What if you started to love the story that God was writing with your life and love the you that he loves so much? I think you'd enjoy the journey a whole lot more. Talking to Jennifer Renee Watson about her book, Freedom, The Gutsy Pursuit of Breakthrough and the Life Beyond It. If you've got questions, you can email or text him. Text is 877-933-2484 or email middays at myfaithradio.com. And we'll be back in a moment.
Every day is just another struggle, and every choice is an act of war. Gotta pray, gotta press on to the prize worth fighting for.
Love this song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. Welcome to Middays, talking to Jennifer Renee Watson. You know, I chose that song for this bumper because, you know, we've got to keep fighting. We need each other. You need your rest. You need a nap. You need rest from the battle, but then you rise up again. Rest is one thing. Disengagement is not an option for us. We contend. We go from faith to faith. And you know what? As we contend for the faith and we fight the good fight, we contend for not only our freedom, but the freedoms of others. Even though we get bumped up, we get bruised, you know, life has a way of life in us. We're better for the battle. We change from the inside out. And Jennifer, I want to talk a bit more, if we can, about how a person gets free from the inner critic, you know, the inner constant judge who's critiquing their every move, sabotaging their progress. And sometimes that voice is because of a parent, a coach, a teacher, or sometimes it's just because the person cannot let themselves off the hook. How does a person break free so that they can start to really more often hear the Father's voice and the Father's song over their lives?
Yes, I was walking some ladies through this chapter in my church, and I asked them to list five things, and I have it in the book, where they have to literally write out five things that they liked about themselves. And every single one of them said one or two I could handle, but the three to five was excessive because it made them feel uncomfortable. And it was like some of them just thought, well, can I even write down five things that I think about myself? So it's just realizing that the ways that we feel and the ways that we think do not mimic what God thinks or feels about us. And so scripture to me is the most powerful thing in dealing with our inner mean girl, because if it doesn't line up with his word, then I'm going to shut it down. So just taking those thoughts captive. Another thing that I share in this chapter is about my mentor saying, don't give breath to that. It was during a session where we were talking, and I was starting to vent, but it was going toxic. Like I was mad and I was angry and I was stirring up old wounds. And she stops me and she said, don't give breath to that. Meaning that is not even worth your breath. You know, don't stir that up. We want to find healing in that situation. And the way that you're talking about it is just by saying, you know, I deserve to feel that way. So that was another thing that really freed me up, was just shutting that down and saying, you know what? The enemy would love for me to dwell on this, but I'm not gonna give any more air to this situation.
And this is the thing, is if you notice, friends, every guest I bring on where we talk about contending for freedom, we have a part and God has a part, and passivity will never get us there. We want so many people want to stay stuck to their mat. And, you know, Jesus says, do you want to be well? And he says, I can't, sir. You know, there's times we need to rise up. We need to, you know, nobody can renew and redeem our mind for us. That's one of those things we have to do, and we have to fight for it. But it is worth the fight. Our whole life will be transformed when we change how we think. How about this one, Jennifer? Talk, if you would, about perfectionism and what you've learned about it and its impact, the mindset and its impact on us.
I think perfectionism is a mask that women and even men, these type A personalities, they really, really like things to be in order. And I know so many of those and love so many people like that, to where for me, perfectionism was hiding, but it was also not starting something. It was procrastination, because if I couldn't do it perfectly, then maybe I shouldn't do it at all. So I really had to trace back that perfectionism was keeping me stuck, because I would not even try, because I was already counting it a failure before I'd even started something.
And really, how do you enjoy your victories and your offerings? I mean, we would never do that to a child. I hope not. I mean, if you do that to a child, it's because you're doing it to yourself as well. But I just, you know, one of the just heart's cry that I have is that we could learn to enjoy the journey, that we could enjoy the fact that Jesus enjoys us, that we could wrap ourselves up in his grace. We contend and fight a good fight, but we also belly laugh and stop at a lemonade stand and we enjoy a meal around the table with friends. But if you've got a driver of perfectionism over you, you will not know freedom, and you won't enjoy the journey. And that's sure not coming from the Lord, is it?
No, absolutely not. I think there's so much freedom in being able to not take yourself so seriously.
Yeah.
And to celebrate, or even share your funny moments, your disaster that happened. Like last week I was speaking somewhere and I spilled water all over me, and thank goodness I had black pants on. But instead of like being like, I cannot believe that, I'm such a mess, I just got up and shared about it. And all of these women were like, oh my goodness, she's just like us. She's a mess sometimes, you know?
I remember I got up to speak once too, and I carry my notes in a 3-ring binder, and somehow the 3 rings, as I was walking up, came undone, and the notes spewed all over this huge stage, and I gathered them up, and I said, well, that was kind of a nightmare come true, and you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I survived it. It really was okay. But anyway, you're so right. We can laugh at ourselves a little bit. Okay, one last question for you. What do you know about God now that you didn't know a year, 2, or 3 ago?
I think that the longer that I serve him and the more that I see how he has helped me to unpack this lifetime of baggage, I see his kindness and his graciousness. And it really is that the way that I look at him is that lavish God who loves us, and it's grace upon grace, not shame upon shame that we want to put on ourselves sometimes. It's just all grace. I've found the harder that I've been on myself, the more loving he's been towards me through his words and the way that he just kind of draws us to his presence. It says his kindness leads us to repentance. And I love that picture of how loving he is, that's what makes us want to change our lives, is because he loves us and he's kind towards us.
Yeah. Mercy triumphs over judgment, and love changes a heart where that harshness never, ever would. Well, Jennifer, I want to thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for fighting the good fight so others can win too, and really appreciate the time today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, God bless you. And so, friends, we're going to play a song that you heard in the bumper, not today. I want you to hear it in its entirety, and I want you to stand with that song, pray along with that song, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to pray a specific prayer for you. But do remember, we have 5 copies of Jennifer's book. I'm going to give you the title again. It's Freedom, The Gutsy Pursuit of Breakthrough and the Life Beyond It. Here's the email, middays@myfaithradio.com. Put freedom in the subject line, and we're going to listen to that song. And Jennifer, I'm going to let you go and be blessed today, and thanks again for your time.
Trouble will throw me, won't break me, won't scare me no more.
Love that song. You know, I don't know about you, but this is something I've noticed in battle strategy is that there's not a one-size-fits-all because the terrain is uneven. If you look at Psalm 18, it says he trains my hands for battle. He gives me feet, hinds feet, like that of a deer, so I can walk on high places. You know what that speaks of is spiritual agility, where you become so agile, you can handle the rough terrain. And that means there's just a different strategy for each of us. Maybe your strategy really is to clean up your diet and get a good nap. Maybe your strategy is to raise that shield and say, not today, devil, and not tomorrow either. Maybe your battle strategy is to really start to clean up your thought life and where your thoughts go and those self-defeating thoughts. I want to pause and pray for you. But, you know, I want to say wisdom's path is peace. So the big thing today is discern your strategy and then do what God says. So, Father, I pray for my dear listener today, and I pray that you pour out your spirit in a fresh new way. I pray, God, that you'd make it abundantly clear what obedience looks like in this particular season of life, Lord. If this friend is supposed to rise up, raise up the shield, or bow down and let you fight for them, if this dear friend is supposed to get a good nap in and start taking better care of themselves, or maybe reinstitute their devotional life because they've let it slip and now they're feeling like they're drifting. Lord, you alone know what they need, but they know now. I pray you'd speak with such clarity that they know, that wisdom would enter their heart and flood it with peace. You'd quicken them and you'd invite them to run this race to win the prize. Thank you that you love them, that you're with them every step of the way, and you have no intention of abandoning them. You're going to get them safely home. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining me today. I pray you found some encouragement here today on Middays. Don't forget, I want you to email in. If you're able to come to our event next Thursday, we're giving away 12 sets of tickets. We're taking emails today and tomorrow, middays@myfaithradio.com. I can't wait to see you face-to-face. Hope you can join us, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.